This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Open for Business on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. We're going to be talking a little bit about food today, in particular seafood, and a restaurant that I managed to be lucky to visit not too long ago. And I spoke with, whilst I was there, a lady called Sharita, who is one of the co-founders of the restaurant. It is called Ombak Kitchen. In the studio with me today, I, of course, have Sharita. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Thank you for the food, first and foremost. It was delicious. For one person, too much, I thought.
You're welcome.
But I was joyous all afternoon. Seafood restaurants, they're nothing new. You know, they're not a new concept here in Malaysia. But what I found different about yours was the flavor that was added to the food, the seafood. And for me, it was a new experience in the way that it was served, because essentially you threw it on the table and you went, just use your hands.
Yep.
So that's my first question, is why did you decide to do it like that? Where did the idea come from?
Okay, Richard, thank you for having me in the show. The entire idea of, you know, the seafood spread and then spread on the table, it was actually from US. You know, the concept is more or less is of a Louisiana concept, but it's already been spread, worldwide, Asia, especially Indonesia, Singapore, now in Malaysia, is pretty new. Mm. So why we picked that concept is actually to go align with our mission, which is a very clear vision to enrich life and living, which means to say that we want to be in the enrichment, not only serving lunch and dinner for our customers, but we want to be a part of enrichment of someone else's life. Mm. For example, seafood normally is being served in, you usually cutleries. We don't provide cutleries in our restaurants. We only give you a beep. Yeah. And then you just dig in with your hand.
Yeah.
And with that, we actually create a relationship closer to the diners that come into our place. That's where we play a part in enrichment. Usually, if you go to a restaurant, most of the time, customers are holding their handphones, you know, updating their IGs, and they don't really interact with each other. But if you come to Ombak Kitchen, you actually have to off your handphone for about 45 minutes, and then you have to interact with someone, whoever that you came with, especially a family or friend, and then you dig in and you share the food, basically, which how usually we do it at home. Mm. So if you come to Ombak Kitchen, you feel home.
Pakai tangan je.
Yes, that's our tagline. Pakai tangan je. Yes.
And I think it works.
Yes.
The one thing that it did do, and like you say, people have forgotten, I think, to a degree, to how to have a conversation when you go out for dinner. It is about, you know, sharing what you're eating and uploading to Instagram or whatever. With that being said, though, you have a good social media following, and your work on social media is good. You have, what, 35,500
followers.
I think. And for an outlet, for a company that has two outlets,
yep,
one in Bangsar and one in Bukit Jelantong.
Yes, you're right.
That's some good work. How have you managed to get so many followers so quickly?
Okay, Richard, this is how it works. We wasn't doing very well in the first 3 months when we opened up the restaurants. It was a very new concept for the Malaysian. And as well as we situated in Bukit Jelutong, somewhere that nobody knows, not in KL or cities, it took us quite a bit to actually get to know in the market. So what we did deliberately was to, the first three months, you see the, hardly in Bukit Jelutong, we are not facing a main road, you know.
Right.
You hardly see someone actually walk past. So what action we took is to, the first 3 months, we actually invited influencers. We call them as V-bloggers or friends and family. So what we did is you just come to our place and then you don't have to pay anything and then you just dine it. We just want you to speak about our food the first 1 or 2 months. We don't have customers at all.
Mm.
And what happened was when you hit the third month, it went out word of mouth just because we because of our food, not even anything else. Because we serve the most premium seafood at a very reasonable price, plus a five speciality of our sauces.
You see, and that's where I think you made a brave decision. Because a lot of people, a lot of companies who rely on influencers at first often make a mistake. I think what they do is they think that those influencers will be the only thing that can help them get their business up and running, right? And so what will happen is that the influencer will come in, they'll share a few things, the likes will go up, people will start aligning with the business for a little while, and then they'll disappear. Because the influencer has stopped posting about it or whatever. But what you're doing, I think, it is very useful to people who are following you, for example, is that you are constantly updating people on your Instagram with, this is what we've got, this is who we're serving. But the difference is you have faith in your product. Your stuff is really good.
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, just now, we at Ombak Kitchen uphold the value of enrichment, which means to say that we don't just serve a lunch or we just don't serve a dinner, but we would like to be, we want to serve more than that. Mm. Meaning you come in to dine in Ombak Kitchen, we want to play a part in enrichment of someone else's life. For example, we have a lot of surprise events happening, like anniversary that, you know, somebody calls and then they want to have a surprise party for the husband, and we collaborate with them, and then we give a surprise party for these people. And then
I saw people dancing to Pocho Pocho in your place.
Yes,
the other day.
We allow that sometimes. And as well as we also want to make sure that when they come to Ombak Kitchen, they have to just have to be themselves and feel home, and there's no rules on the tables, and you just enjoy everything in our place in that matters. Yes.
Well, let's talk about the product that you serve then, and where you get your product from, because it's premium product. It tastes delicious. Is it local?
Okay, I think 60% of our items are imported and only 40% are local. For example, we have Alaskan king crab, live lobster from Canada, and then we have live oyster from US, we have clams, mussels, live crab. We don't use frozen crab, live crab from Indonesia, we're air flown every day. That's the reason why we make sure the freshness of the seafood is always intact, and we don't compromise on that. Plus, we use only Western spices, a little bit of twist of the Malaysian flavor to feel home, that so that they don't feel like all everything is about Western spices, to make sure that they have a comfortable taste of Asian taste as well.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
How much of that was a conscious decision then to? Let's say, for example, a lot of the I've been to a lot of seafood restaurants here, and you know it's locally found seafood. The taste is different, right? Immediately when I came to your place, I knew it was not local, right? Mm-hmm. How has that affected your overheads, though? You know, because you've made this decision to have premium food, has it affected your overheads at all?
Okay, again, we come back to the mission that we hold. We are not. We at Ombak Kitchen, we doesn't want just to serve a lunch and then you go back. We want to make sure that you pay a value for whatever that you are paying in our restaurants. Meaning, if you pay for 100 ringgit, you get, you know, at least 99.9 of the value back for the customer. And on top of that, we make sure that, you will come back the next time, because if not, then we wouldn't be able to open a second outlet by the customer who has been patronizing us so far. Yes, the consistency of the seafood, the ingredients, the freshness of the seafood is very important. It's a very priority for us. Yes.
So after opening the outlet at Bukit Jelutong, how long was it before you decided to open the one?
A year. Yes.
And how much market research did you do into the area and decided why to go into Bangsar?
Okay, being in Bukit Jelutong, you attract people from Klang, Subang, and then we have a lot of inquiry in Instagram. You know, they said, when are you going to open in KL? When are you going to open in Bangsar? When are you going to be near to our home? You know, so that's where it triggers that, okay, we're going to have somewhere near, close to your heart. We wanted to have another one coming up in KL soon, hopefully. And Bangsar was our choice because we thought that, you know, the distance of traveling for the KL people, from people from KL, Ampang, Taman Tun, Damansara will be easier for them to come to Bangsa than Bukit Jalutong.
It's fairly centrally located, right?
Yes.
Are the people who attend the restaurant, are the markets different? Are your demographics different?
Yes. Yes, definitely it's different because in Bangsa, we have more urban as well as more young and as well more young crowd in terms of, you know, they really can spend. Compared to Shah Alam, we might have a little bit of a mass market, but in Bangsa, we have people who can really spend for good food and good environment. Mm. So the entire demography have changed in terms of marketing as well.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
Has it made you think about how you need to alter your marketing ever so slightly?
Yes, very much. I think we changed quite a bit of the entire strategy of the marketing from narrowing to one channel. Now we have to consider the entire channel of the people. Meaning to say that from the young to the teenage to the old one. Mm. So before this, we were just channeling to the youth. You know, if they are on the Instagram. But now we are channeling to the entire spectrum of it.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to take a short break here on Open for Business on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Sharita Liu from Ombak Kitchen. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll be talking about expansion and a few other things here. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. In the studio, I have...
Sharita.
From Ombak Kitchen.
Yes.
It's a seafood restaurant. There's a couple of outlets, one in Bukit Jelutong and one in Bangsa. Two slightly different markets, as we mentioned earlier on, and you've kind of moved around and you've changed some of your marketing strategy. Let's talk a little bit about the food that you have, the chefs that you've got working with you. Where did you find these chefs?
Okay, we are very lucky to have someone from a six-star hotel, which is from, he works in Shangri-La Lafitte before, and also F&B director from Palace of Golden Horses for over 30 over years of experience. And we actually are working together to actually invent the sauces itself. It took us 6 months because to get the right taste, the right aroma, the right spices, and it took us almost six months to actually establish that.
And you have five different sauces. Tell me about the five different sauces.
Okay, we have Ombak Crazy Cajuns, which is from Cajun spices.
Yeah.
And then we have Zesty Lemon Butter, which is for those who doesn't like spicy. And then we have buttermilk. And then we also have a spicy chocolate sauce. It's made out of savory. Mm. And then we also have another one. It's called Creamy Tom Yum. So it's more of a twist in between the Westerns and the Asians.
Mm. And yes. is there a favorite amongst your...
Yes, our signature is Ombak Crazy Cajun. That's why we call it as Crazy Cajun sauce. Mm-mm-mm. Yes.
Okay. So in terms of funding... These a seafood restaurant with all the ideals of it being a good restaurant with good food, a good chef in a good location. Where did you get the money from to raise this? Do you have shareholders?
Okay, for now, we only have three partners with us together. And of course, we are going to establish another outlet, hopefully by another. I mean, we are 3 months old in Bangsa, and we hope to have one more outlet in KL Centre for tourist attraction,
right,
to serve our Malaysian born brand food. They may have tried other, seafood spread as of like Singapore, Indonesia, but I think the tourists have to try our Malaysian born brand, which is Ombak Kitchen, located somewhere in KL, hopefully by next year. And that's how we are planning forward. Mm. And our plan for the next 2 years of expansion plan is to have 10 outlets, hopefully.
Wow.
Yes.
By the end of next year?
2 years. Yes, 2 years.
Sharita, I think you could probably do that, actually, because you have a bunch of other companies as well that we should probably talk about another time.
Yes.
10 different locations based around the Klang Valley, I assume.
Yes, we have plans. We already have one in Shah Alam, Bangsa, KL, Malacca, 2 in JB, Seremban, and Penang, Singapore, and Brunei, 10 in total.
Yes. You are thinking about expanding very quickly, right?
Yes, yes. We are opening up options for investors for after the third outlets because we want to own the first three outlets. The fourth outlets, we are actually going to centralize, meaning the third outlet, we're going to have a centralized kitchens and consistency of the sources, the products, and then we will invite the investors to come in.
Are you already speaking with people about this?
We already have so many inquiries, but we are not open up the door yet because we want to be stabilized first. We want to be able to be, answerable to the investors at the end of the day. What's our future plan? But as of now, we are tuning a lot of things, especially the menu. We are going to revamp the menu again somewhere in September for a better menus. And then from there, we want to do quite a bit of R&D another 1 year to get stabilize us of ourselves in 3 outlets, then we open up to the investors, then we can branch out pretty fast.
Mm.
Yes.
What are you doing in terms of things? I know you want people to come to your restaurant. I know you want people to spend money in your restaurant, like any business owner does. Would you be looking at stuff like delivery as well, home delivery or anything like that?
Yes, we are having home delivery right now already. We have. It's just that both outlets, we have home delivery. We need to venture out more, meaning our capacity to have more delivery from the corporates. Right now, we have delivery from homes as well as the smaller portioning, but we are going to expand it to more of like, offices. Let's say you don't have to,
It's a great place for corporate gatherings and stuff like that.
So you just have to, we provide everything, you don't have to wash plates, we provide, you don't have to have cutleries, we provide everything on the table, you just spread it and then you just pack it up and then you just throw it away. Yeah.
I was saying to you that when I came to the restaurant, what you actually need is somebody walking around with a phone or camera taking pictures for people.
Yes.
So you can actually just carry on and concentrate on eating.
Yes.
And yet your Instagram is still being updated. People would love that.
Yes.
Yes. The one thing that I wanted to talk to you is you're obviously very, very ambitious as a group, as a partnership or whatever. What challenges have you faced so far at this point?
Okay. The challenges, of course, are number one is the consistency of the food.
Right.
And though the recipe has been laid down, but, different chefs comes in with a different hand altogether. And we have to make sure that that's why I said we need 1 more year to tune down the entire recipe, especially the sauces. Mm. So you can get seafood in any outlets, any seafood restaurants, but to have the right recipes, right sauces, it has to come from the chef. Mm. So we are training the younger generation, meaning the young chefs, to hold, my business partner, which is 30 years in the industry, to hold the creation, which is the sauces, so that they are as good as the 30 years old chef as well. So that's number one.
Yeah.
Meaning we have challenges of consistency of the food, meaning the freshness of it and stuff like that. And number two, the challenges we have is to, staffing, meaning our staff. We want to create an environment where it's fun. You come in to Ombak Kitchen, it's fun. And we have to train this staff to be as fun as possible so that our customer will have fun too. Mm. So that was challenging for us because some of the waitress that comes in, they are quite straightforward, they just don't smile, and then we got to give them training to make them feel home, and then they can make our customer feel home as well. So these are the small operational challenges we have, but I don't think it will be a big issue later once the training is being done.
Two things for me go hand in hand: good food and good customer service.
Yes, you're right.
And I'm not trying to blow your trumpet, but the customer service was excellent.
Right.
The staff were very attentive. They dealt with our issues should we have them immediately. They smiled, they were polite, they were pleasant, they were very, very helpful. That is not something you get in many local restaurants.
Yes.
And I think that is a testament to training and the fact that you have a vision for what you want.
Yeah.
Do you worry, though, that if you expand so quickly, that level of service will kind of be get diluted a little bit? And what would you do to help make sure it doesn't?
We have to, because you see, these two restaurants, we actually get a manager of the outlet to make sure that this is implemented no matter what.
Mm.
So with that, we go around, I mean, two outlets, I go around to make sure that if there's the energy is not there, meaning when someone comes into our office, they say, oh, welcome. If the tone goes down, we know the entire team is going down. So when the entire team going down, we're gonna call the managers. I saw, okay, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening to our staff? Why there's no, the energy level is so low? And what is your concern, you know? Then we have to make sure that this is being implemented because... And one of the things that I always do with my staff is that I will make sure that their personal issues is being sorted out. Meaning if they have any financial issues or, you know, I'm sure everyone has their own personal issue at home, it's being sorted out. When you come in to work, you actually put it that aside. Okay, financially, if they have anything short, they want an advanced salary or they want an off for days that they, you know, paid lift, I will let them go. You say, go sort out your things and then you come back and serve my customers. If not, you're not able to serve. Or what I always emphasize is to make sure my staffs are happy working with me. If you are not happy working with me, you cannot serve my customer happy. That's the rules that I always put to my managers. I say, if this person is not happy working here, please let them go. We get someone to come in.
Can you sit and talk to every other restaurant about this? Do you do that because you've experienced bad customer service yourself,
yep,
or that's why, is it?
No, Richard, because as I said, that the thing that we are upholding in Ombak Kitchen, the entire organization itself, is to enrichment to someone else's life.
Yeah.
And if I don't uphold that with my managers, then they cannot uphold it with myself, my waiters or whoever it is that they are dealing with. And my managers or my management are very close to me, which means to say we don't have a separation of a staff and a boss, meaning you can come directly to me and you tell me what's your problem and then we sort out for you.
Mm.
Because they are also in the position to serve my customers. It's just that they might have a hiccup here and there in their process of growing their life, get married, children and stuff like that. So usually I will sort out they are part of their life, and then you come clean and serve my customers. And with that, they are actually more enthusiastic than me because then your problems are sorted. Now I can free to serve my customers.
Okay, so 2 years' time, you're looking at 10 outlets.
Yep.
5 years' time?
5 years' time in my list is to be public listed. Yeah.
Yeah.
5 to 6 years' time.
It's
2025.
I don't doubt that either. What kind of customers do you want to be attending your place?
Everyone. But of course, we want someone who can, you know, as I said just now, we uphold enrichment. Then my managers bring it down to the lower staff, I mean my service staff. And then my service staff will serve my customer enrichment as well. And with that, we hope that those customers who come to Ombak Kitchen is being served not only food and lunch as that simple, but to just be themselves and, you know, uphold the value of enrichment of each and everyone, and that's it, you know. That's not...
I walked out of your restaurant last week, full, first and foremost. I immediately got on the phone and called three or four of my friends to tell them about it. Not just because the food was good. It was because the quality of service was good. I felt the location was good. It lacked foot traffic,
right, but
I think that's normal because of the location. I think the idea of you being a destination place, you know, a destination restaurant, the idea of families getting together and say, okay, it's auntie's birthday or it's uncle's birthday or it's whatever, let's go to On Black Kitchen.
Yes.
And it become a place of special occasion.
Yes, as a treat.
And
yes.
As a treat.
Yes.
I think that is when you can really see it becoming something special.
Yes. Yes, you are right. You're on the dot. Yes.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Richard.
That was Sharita Liu, one of the co-founders of On Black Kitchen. What is your tagline?
Pakai tangan je.
There you go. Thank you very much for tuning in to Enterprise. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.